Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to a very special monthly Wire People Into That segment sponsored by The Pleasure Chest. June is Pride Month, so we're going to explore sex toys designed for queer sex and how to queer virtually anything. Did you know queer is a verb? It totally is. It's an identity and an adjective, and queer is basically everything. My guest today is Ryan DiMartino, the supervisor of the New York City Pleasure Chest on the Upper East Side, and that's on 2nd Avenue and 60th, for those of you who are wondering. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Hi. I'm great, Tina. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited that we're Instagram storying live. So, Ryan, who are you, and what do you do for the Pleasure Chest?
So I am the supervisor at the Pleasure Chest on the Upper East Side, which means that I lend a lot of support to the floor. I do some customer service, but I also coordinate our education program, which means that I write the lineup of workshops that we offer every week. Those are 2 hours long on Wednesday nights, really in-depth stuff, no sign-up required.
And they're free.
The most important part. The Pleasure Chest is a mission-driven organization. We seek to foster an environment of sex positivity and inclusivity, and also empower people to have the education and like the knowledge that they need to be able to fulfill their desires in a way that's like safe and healthy. So part of how we do that is through the education program. So I write the lineup, I observe the workshops, I give feedback to our presenters, I book fabulous guest educators such as yourself.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And from time to time, I get to teach too, which I think is my favorite part of working at the Pleasure Chest.
Yeah, I'm excited to come to your queering oral sex class this month.
I'm actually really excited about that workshop because it's going to be my first time teaching that one specifically. We have our most popular oral sex workshop is Blowjobs and Beyond, our head of the class, but this is an oral sex for all genders class that I'm super excited about, because every workshop that I teach really brings an emphasis to the ways that bodies are analogous, that they're more alike than they are different, and regardless of what your sexual orientation is, having knowledge about different, you know, tissue types or like muscle tissue and how to stimulate them is gonna benefit you, whoever you meet or whatever you're doing.
Awesome. So if somebody wants to come to that queering oral sex class on the Upper East Side in New York City, what day is that?
That's going to be Wednesday, June 14th from 8 to 10 p.m.
Fantastic. And if people come to those free classes and they want to shop, do they get some kind of discount?
Oh, yeah. So there's no obligation on your part. Just show up for a workshop. But if you make any purchases that night, you get 15% off anything in the store.
Oh, my God. Amazing. I would want to take advantage of that. And then you're also doing cruise control, hookups, and ethical non-monogamy, which I assume is like a queer-specific cruising class, on June 28th, right?
Yes. Cool. I'm really excited about that class. It's a new addition this quarter. We're going to talk a little bit about how to share STI statuses with partners, about PEP and PrEP, and where
Fantastic.
To get them, how to kind of DIY your own open relationship structure, whether you are partnered to someone or whether you're single and want to like be an ethical booty call with good values.
I love that.
Yeah.
So fantastic.
One of the things that I always, you know, whenever I end up talking about the Pleasure Chest, I always come back to my kind of origin story there, which was as a young queer stray who, you know, showed up to their interview 9 months pregnant with like a lot of life stuff going on and experience in the sex industry, but not so much retail. And, you know, the Pleasure Chest took me in when I could not get a job anywhere else, and has turned out to be a really perfect fit and a really amazing experience that like values this life experience and history that I have that so often is something that has to be covered up or, you know, spun to be a little bit more kosher. But the pleasure chest, you know, values like a host of diverse experiences and really like makes a place for them in the store, which is something that I've always really appreciated.
Same. That's so awesome. So what do you do when you're not at the Pleasure Chest?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's not very often. But when I'm not at the Pleasure Chest, I have two dogs at home that I'm really into clicker training and hiking with.
What kind of dogs?
I have one pit bull, Penelope, the love of her life, Odysseus, is a like lab chow Akita mix. He's a big old mutt, but he's a really sweet old guy. And Penny is this like rambunctious 5-year-old. They're kind of like the odd couple, but Penelope and Odysseus at the same time, if you're into mythology.
I was going to say those are very classical names.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. And then I also... I really enjoy going to play parties, and one of the other things I love about my job is that it's given me an opportunity to kind of get back in the swing of that.
Awesome. So, Ryan, I brought you here today on June 1st, the first day of Pride Month. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Of course, I'm sure for you as well as for me, every day is a Pride Parade, but it is really wonderful to have this month that we dedicate to celebrating and resisting and all of the other things that we do as queers. And one of the things that we do as queers is fuck. Why would you turn queer into a verb and use it on your sex life? Why are people into queering sex, Ryan?
Why are people into queering sex? Well, I think that, you know, we have to first kind of unpack, like, what does that even mean? What is it to queer sex? What sex is inherently queer and what sex isn't? Is only sex between queer people queer, or can straight people have queer sex? And so, there's, you know, a little bit of exploration there. For me, the notion of queering sex isn't even about like who I'm having sex with or the way they were having sex, but that the sex is not procreative and that the sex is something that like I am like using my autonomy and my time to do, right? Because we all live in a capitalist society where specifically, you know, heterosexual procreative sex is normalized and valued in a really particular way. And sex that is outside of procreation, and especially, you know, sex that takes up a lot of time or takes you to a venue is something that doesn't contribute to capitalist production, right? Because if you're up all night at the sex party, you're not out of bed early in the morning at your job. And if you're not producing children, then you're not contributing more workers to the force or soldiers to the war or whatever, you know, the many like reasons that heterosexual sex supports the nation state.
Yes.
Taking the time to have sex with yourself or have queer sex, meaning like sex that's not contributing to the state, I think is an act of resistance and self-love. And I think that that's so important. And so I think that anybody, you know, who comes into the Pleasure Chest is already like saying like, I'm taking back like time for myself. I don't have to just do this thing for this one particular sanctioned reason. And it's not just sanctioned by the state. It's sanctioned by religion. It's sanctioned by, you know, social order. It's considered like gluttonous almost to want to spend lots of time like having orgasms just for pleasure. And especially if you're someone who, you know, experiences the world being read as a woman, there's an added layer of reclamation happening when you take the time to be selfish and be about your own pleasure, and let alone like bring tools into the mix and spend your hard-earned money like supplementing your sex life in a way that really is about giving something back to you and not producing for society at large.
Oh my God. Preach to me, Ryan. Thank you for that. You know, I always say that queer sex is more creative than procreative, but it's especially heartening for me to hear that from you as a queer parent, because I'm not a parent, queer or otherwise. So yeah, hearing that stance from you, I think, is especially radical. So thank you.
Thanks.
I love that definition. On that note, how do you queer
a sex toy, right? Because some sex toys, like strap-on harnesses, like sparkly crystal butt plugs, like gold strap-on harness compatible dildos, are inherently queer. Like double-sided dildos like the Cher by Fun Factory have an inherent queerness to them, but you can queer any sex toy, right?
Absolutely. You know, I think that certain toys, when we look at them, seem to be preloaded with like queer points, be something that's, you know, golden and fabulous or a sparkly butt plug. But if we're taking the approach that, you know, queering your sex means being selfish about your sex and like allowing it to be just for you and just for your pleasure and not for the state and not for, you know, the workforce, any tool that you spend your money on, right? Because there are prescribed ways that are responsible for us to spend our money in ways that there are not, that you spend your time on, that you have created a fantasy around that's just for you, that's a queer act.
Agreed.
I think that there are definitely ways that certain toys can be queered even further. I think looking at the intention of a toy and manipulating that is a great way. So, for example, I love to tell folks about the Wii Vibe. The Wii Vibe is this little C-shaped vibrator, and its God-given purpose was to be worn by a heterosexual woman while she is having like PIV with her partner, so that there's like a hands-free clitoral vibrator in place as they move through different positions that both people can feel, which is fabulous.
Great.
I love the Wii Vibe because it's adjustable and I can tuck it inside my strap-on harness so that I have direct stimulation while I'm strapped up and fucking somebody, which is a pretty far deviation from the intention for that toy, but works deliciously for me. There are actually a number of dual stimulating toys that are just intended to be like clitoral vibrators that for me become a way of deriving pleasure from strapping up, which is something that I don't always get a whole lot of direct sensation out of unless I'm using a double-ended toy like the Cher. So reclaiming those toys that were specifically designed for straight couples, for straight sex, and inserting them as like high value utilitarian objects in my own like queer sex life is one way that I really love to approach it. Something else that I like to do, especially as a trans person, is with toys that are particularly gendered or gendered not for me, take them and find a way to fuck them. I'm all about
literally,
like, you know, yeah, oh yeah. Lots of toys have, you know, a pre-imagined purpose by their design, but
right.
No toy is limited to that purpose. And I am a big believer that any sex toy in the store could be used by anybody with any body. You just have to be creative and selfish and fantasize about it.
Definitely. And even, I mean, that to me is also the thing that is, like, queering a sex toy also is about, like, taking something that, like, using something for a purpose other than the one it was ostensibly designed for, right? Like you know, if you think of, like, anal sex as, like, inherently queer sex because you're going in through the outdoor and you're, like, using, you know, your sentience as a human being to be like, well, I know that this area is intended for one thing, but I'm going to notice all of the nerve endings and notice how subverting a taboo makes me feel, and I am going to like run with that and play with that. Like, that's what makes that queer. So, you know, that's like how we queer our bodies. So, like, you thinking of like sex toys as like extensions of our bodies and like subverting them, especially since they were like designed by people, using them for a purpose other than the one they were designed for seems like the queerest thing that you could do.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, especially as a trans person, going into any sex shop at times can be really intimidating, especially when the way that toys are gendered by their make is really obvious. But one of the things that can feel, you know, really empowering for me is to take one of those toys that, like, is specifically for a body that's not mine or for an identity that is supposedly not mine and make use out of it. So, like, for example, Vixen makes a penis extender, which is this like hollow shaft that looks, you know, like a cock, and you can put it on your own factory installed bits if you want to like make them bigger. And that, like, that design wasn't intended for my body, but I love to take that toy and take my pure wand, which is this, you know, C-shaped metal object, and stick it inside there and wear it like a strap on so that I can feel every like nuanced, minute adjustment and sensation, and get fantastic representational head that has almost gotten me kicked out of play parties for perceivably like violating the boundaries of pink on pink when I'm actually like using toys. But having that like really representational experience, like for me, that also is so sensei, is super empowering. It's something that I've wanted to feel for the longest time, and neither of those toys were intended for that use at all. And now it's one of my favorite combinations.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tell me about some of the other explicitly gender-affirming gear that you sell at the Pleasure Chest.
Yeah, so one of the wonderful things about the Pleasure Chest is that I'm the supervisor and I'm a trans person. And we have a number of trans people on staff, and we have a whole national team that is intentional about the way that we lay out our store. And so our inside the Pleasure Chest at the Upper East Side, the toys are laid out by function. But we do both like online and in store have a number of gender affirming products. So we carry binders in store. And what's really great about that is it gives folks the opportunity to try them on. I know for me as a younger person, there was a lot of like ordering binders from way overseas on the internet that like I hoped were going to fit me and that I knew I couldn't return, but I just really needed them. So I was taking the gamble. So having those in store is really important to me. In particular, we also have breast forms. We have dilators. We have a stroker by Buck Angel, which is specifically intended for trans masculine folk. There are a lot of strokers that I think are great for a number of different bodies, whether you identify as trans or not, but just if you're someone who likes suction on their bits.
Yeah.
That is specifically geared towards trans people, which I really appreciate.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Even though when you're selling things, marketing is obviously going to be a part of it, and a lot of the ways that people tend to understand marketing is gendered, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they start us off on that very young, right?
Right.
And so creating, just inverting those things, is inversion is not the same as subversion, right?
So that's right.
So it's really great to know that Pleasure Chest is a place where it's not just like, well, you don't fit in the box, but like, let's make a new box and then we'll fit you into that.
Yeah.
It's much more open, much more broad, much more about like interpretation and experience rather than conformity.
Right. One of the other things I think worth noting is, and this is a question that, you know, we deal with internally, where there are, you know, folks who are looking for direction from us that is specifically based on their gender. And I, you know, always try to challenge people to think outside the box, because these are just objects and really like what you do with them is totally up to you. But we did just relaunch our website, and now we have a page specifically for gender affirming products. And I know there we also carry gaffs and packers and STPs. Those we have in store as well. But everything is curated together and easy to find and in a place that is, you know, acknowledging that these things are, for a lot of folks, for gender affirmation.
Can you explain all three of those things? Let's start with gaffs. What is a gaff?
A gaff is you could kind of think of it like Under Armour underpants that are going to help kind of keep everything tucked into place where you want it.
Mm-hmm.
You could also think of it as being akin to like a binder for downstairs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right on. And then what is a packer?
Yeah. So this question comes up a lot in store. Packers are soft aftermarket cocks, often used by transmasculine folk to create a bulge, sometimes used by go-go dancers who want to create a barrier between their own stuff and the folks that they are coming into contact with at work. But they're just soft, not insertable, not necessarily like for sexual play, but aesthetic enhancements.
Awesome. And STP?
Yeah, so an STP is a stand-to-pee device. Those can take a couple of different forms. We have some that are not intended to be representational of anything. They look more like a funnel or a medicine spoon.
Right.
And those are great for camping or for anyone who wants to, you know, stand up and pee for whatever reason. But we also have some that are from New York Toy Collective in the form of like a soft penis that can be used in public bathrooms to discreetly stand and pee. Yeah, without any mess and without raising any eyebrows.
Well, that's so awesome because it's really, having this conversation is making me realize that sexuality is, of course, and you know, this is no surprise to anyone listening that I think this, and that I feel this, but that sexuality is a huge part of queer identity and a huge part of affirmation and expression and community around queerness, but also, some of these things aren't necessarily about sexual pleasure per se. And it's really great that the pleasure chest, you know, it's really great that the people that work at the pleasure chest are prepared, that somebody who is walking in is not necessarily looking for a solo sex masturbation product or or some like sexy fetish gear or lingerie, that they might be looking for something that is about affirming their identity, you know, something that, you know, is, you know, might be just, you know, a binder or a packer or a breast form or something that can help you to stand up to pee. There are ways that these things can be fetishized. There are ways that these things can be used sexually, but they are essentially no more inherently sexual than a person's, you know, factory-made body parts, as you put it.
Sure. And we have a number of things in store for a number of different folks that aren't, you know, necessarily for sexual pleasure. But I think that, you know, to have sexual wellness, you have to have like whole body wellness. So
yes,
having those things like body friendly lubes or like Kegel balls or position pillows that are like great for positions, but also if you're pregnant,
definitely
are important pieces of the equation.
I think for a lot of queer people, even as sexual expression is such an important part of their identity, having their entire identity reduced to something sexual or fetishized or exotified can be really tiring. So knowing that they can come into a space like the pleasure chest that is obviously sex positive and a place for sexual exploration and experimentation, but not instantly have, and like that they might, you know, ask a salesperson to show them the packers, and that the folks that work there are sensitive to the fact that that's not necessarily something that person is shopping for a sexual purpose, that could be really liberating. That could be the thing that person needs in order to like get the thing for themselves that they want and need.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Thanks. I think so too. Obviously.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit. And I want to ask you, I've heard of this thing called queer porn. I hear it's a genre
mm-hmm.
of porn.
Right.
And I'm wondering if you have thoughts on why people are into queer porn.
Gosh, why are people into queer porn? Well, I think, you know, for one thing, variety is the spice of life.
Hell yes.
And a lot of folks watch porn that doesn't reflect what they do in their own sex lives or even things that they want to do in their own sex lives, but it's still hot to look at.
Yeah, which can be great, right?
Absolutely. Queer porn, I mean, I think that queer porn, like queer sex, resists a lot of the societal norms that have formed around sexuality and mm-hmm. sexual expression in a way that's liberating for watchers and performers, whether you're queer or not. I think, you know, what differentiates queer porn from mainstream porn, and I don't want to, like, I am not anti-porn. I think porn is fabulous, and also that you should pay for it all the time, all the time, all
same,
the time.
Same. Thank you.
But one of the great things that we often see in queer porn that is sometimes missing in the mainstream is performer-directed scenes mm-hmm. or more body diversity and sex diversity, the types of things. You see a lot of fisting in queer porn, and True. You don't see a whole lot of that or hear a whole lot about that in any other places. And, you know, one of the things I really appreciate about seeing fisting so much in queer porn is that...
Tell us about it.
Is that... You know, fisting is one of those sexual acts that is extremely taboo in ways that really play into heteronormativity and misogyny specifically, right?
So
like fisting
true.
Is violent, or fisting is going to stretch you out, and mm-hmm. you're never going to be able to make a penis feel good again if you let somebody fist you, all of these things that, right, because... You know, bodies with vaginas are supposed to exist for the pleasure of bodies with penises, and you shouldn't do anything to your vagina that's going to make it less ideal for its future penis, right?
I'm nodding along with all of this, yes.
And fisting is something that flies in the face of that, that says, I'm doing this for me. And also is great to show people that a lot of those notions about it, that it's violent or not pleasurable or alters your body in some way that it never bounces back from, are all untrue.
Absolutely. Agreed. Absolutely. 100%. Okay. Next question. What advice do you have for queer people shopping at the Pleasure Chest? Whether they're there for the first time or they're seasoned Pleasure Chest patrons.
Yeah. Well, my first piece of advice is to, at the Pleasure Chest especially, not be afraid to ask anybody who's there for help with anything. Everyone is prepared to help you with anything. And also, you know, a lot of times folks will come in and look for someone who looks like them to have a conversation. But just because someone looks like you doesn't mean that they have the same body that you have, and definitely doesn't mean that they have the same sexual preferences that you have. So number one, I would say open your mind to help, because we are vaults of information.
Totally.
And it's the most efficient way to get it. And the second thing is to let go of assumptions about what toys are for. Just because, you know, this is designed to be a G-spot vibrator doesn't mean that it's not going to feel great in your butt. It probably will, as long as it has a base or a handle.
A flared base, yes, absolutely. Right.
But I think that, you know, a lot of opportunities for really amazing orgasms are missed because toys are written off as being only for one thing. It's, you know, bastardizing the intent of a toy that's for Kegel exercising or for heterosexual sex is one of my favorite things to do, and I encourage everybody to do it all the time.
Same. Yeah, it occurs to me that even when there are toys, like you mentioned, Wii Vibe, that are designed for couples, you know, I always sort of find I always find it interesting when people ask, well, what's a good toy for couples? Well, obviously, any toy that is good for solo play is also potentially a couple's toy or a threesome toy or an orgy toy. Mm-hmm. And I understand that if people are new to all of these concepts and products or the environment of shopping at a place like the Pleasure Chest, that might be like a framework that they're starting from, but this seems to me to be in a way another way to queer sex toys, you know, not just using a toy for, you know, using a, like being a man and using a pink toy, or like, you know, being trans and using a toy that is like designed for a cis body or vice versa. But also using a couple's toy for solo play, or you know, a toy that is, you know, ostensibly supposed to be for masturbation for use at a like big play party, or using a toy that is meant for vanilla sex for a deviant, kinky purpose.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, WeVibe, I might be one of their best customers, and that the various ways that you can like queer up all of their toys is one of the reasons. So, you know, as I was saying, the WeVibe is intended specifically for heterosexual sex. Not only do I use it like strapping up, but I also, it has an app that you can use on your phone to control it. So I love
future
to
sex.
Use it. Yeah. Going to play parties, just having it like in your pants and having your like solo experience wherever you are out in the world, like looking like you're on your phone texting, but you're actually like turning up the volume of your vibrator, is just super fun and devious. And it always, it really makes me feel like a sodomite, which I love, you know. And we have to remember that, we often use sodomy to mean anal sex, but in a lot of contexts and a lot of states, sodomy meant any sex that wasn't procreative, including oral between heterosexual people.
Married people. Absolutely.
Yeah. We should all be
sodomites.
Absolutely.
Agreed. Absolutely.
One thing that I want to touch on really quickly is this question that we had amongst ourselves about why the Hitachi magic wand is so gay.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wanted to, I was reflecting on that a little bit, and just to share with you a little. The first time that somebody brought out a Hitachi magic wand with me was a cis straight man that I was sleeping with, who was perceiving me as also being cis and straight. And it was his magic wand, and he brought it out. And, you know, I was not getting off like in the sex that we were having. And he pulled out this big vibrator and wanted to use it together to help me come. And I was not about it. I was so turned off by it. I was like, that thing is huge. It's ugly. It's loud. It's like a lawnmower. You are not putting that on me. No way. You know, fast forward X years later, and I have one that plugs in and one that's rechargeable, and, you know, friends have them at their houses and they're communal, and they're beloved. And I've been stuck on, you know, why was I so put off to this thing that is famous for giving people pleasure?
Yeah. Why do you think that was?
Because it's so queer. Because as a feminized body, there's an expectation that, number one, it should be easy to get us off. And number two, it should be pretty. Mm. And the Hitachi magic wand is not pretty. It takes up space. It is loud. Mm. It is really powerful. And it does something that it provides an intensity of stimulation that often bodies can't do. And for a feminized body to accept all of those things in the name of pleasure, I think can be seen socially as really selfish or really ugly or unsexy. And isn't it funny that something that is specifically to provide immense sexual pleasure and does it so well can be seen as unsexy? And I think that's specifically because of these norms that we all have, you know, deep down inside of us, telling us what our sexuality is supposed to look like, to be appropriate to our gender role, our work role, our state role. All of these things are so connected. So going for it, like using that big, ugly toy to get off is super queer and also like super radical and resistant for me, which is the theme of the summer.
Song of the summer. Ryan, that is fucking beautiful. I agree. You're singing my song. And I want to keep talking to you about, I want to like walk around, and maybe we will like walk around Pleasure Chest and just pick up every single item there and be like, why is this gay?
Yes.
Or make it gay.
Yes. That, yes. Perfect.
And maybe we will, and maybe we will live stream it. But for now, I think we are done with this podcast. So I just want to say thank you so much for joining me. And I am wishing you and my listeners a happy, glittery, rainbow filled pride this month and every month. And I'll see you on the dance floor.
We'll see you at Folsom and Pride and at the Pleasure Chest.
See you there.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.